The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett, with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in Looking After Lancelot.
Life is full of unexpected little pleasures, like the days when Evadne won't speak to me. Mind, not all my unexpected pleasures are as straightforward as that. And sometimes, what I consider to be a pleasure is considered by other people, quite unaccountably, to be a pain in the neck. We had one like that not long ago. It all started one bright and sunny morning when I returned to the old manse from visiting an acquaintance in the village who was unwell.
Chloe, Evadne, I'm back.
And about time, too. There's a cup of cold coffee in the pot if you want one.
I'm sorry, dear. I'm afraid I was a bit longer than I intended to be.
By my watch, you were nearly 2 hours longer than you intended to be.
Well, you know Cecily Pilkington there. One doesn't just pop in and out.
Hmm.
Mind, her husband apparently don't. You know he only stayed with her for 3.5 weeks after they were married. Then he shot off up the Orinoco.
I imagine that must have been a merciful release for him.
Oh, she's a funny woman, I'll say that. She's pleasant enough, but she really is very eccentric. Mm. The house is a tip. It's worse than your bedroom. I wonder you and she don't get on. You've got quite a lot in common, you know. She's an awful cook.
Thank you.
Oh, no, I'm not being rude, Evadne, but you should have seen the biscuit she made. Talk about hard tack. Mm. Well, I slipped mine under the table to the dogs. They sniffed at it, they slobbered over it, but none of them would eat it. So, of course, I had to kick it back under the settee and snatch it up at the first possible moment.
And having snatched it up, what did you do with it?
I've got it in my bag, dear. Do you want it?
No, I don't.
Good. I thought it might come in handy as a stand for that geranium pot.
What a pity you didn't take 6 Hilda. You could have used them as coasters.
I wish I'd thought of that.
So, when are they taking her into hospital, then?
Tomorrow morning.
And who is going to look after her menagerie for her while she's away?
Oh, a number of people. Everyone's rallied round. The next-door neighbour's going to pop in and feed the cats.
Mm-hmm.
That new woman up at the kennels is taking the dogs in for free.
Yeah.
Mousy Butler's having the tropical fish up at his place. Mm-hmm. And the school's going to look after the rabbits as a project.
Yeah.
Oh, and the cockatoo's off somewhere or other. Which, of course, just leaves the monkey.
Monkey. I've heard about the monkey. And what's happened to that, then? Someone has rallied round, presumably.
Oh, yes, someone's rallied round. Mind, monkeys aren't like other pets, Evadne. They're much more complicated creatures.
Really? I didn't know you were so well up on monkeys. Go on.
Well, Cecily really loves that monkey.
No, I gathered that.
And that monkey really loves her.
So it's reciprocal. How nice for them both.
But it's not awfully keen on anyone else. Not really keen. Not keen enough for her to trust them with it.
I see. Oh, she's got a problem then, hasn't she?
Well, she had, dear, yes. And then I walked in.
I might have guessed it.
But I couldn't help it. He just took to me. And I have to admit that the feeling was pretty mutual. And he's got the most marvelously enormous orange-brown eyes. Well, he looked at me and I looked at him.
And you realized you were made for each other.
Anyway, to cut a long but rather touching story short, I said I'd look after him.
You're surely not going to move into that bungalow of Cecily Pilkington's while she's away, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, of course you're not. If you were, you could look after the rest of the menagerie as well, couldn't you? So, just where is that monkey going to live, Hilda?
Now, Evadne, Evadne, before you get all het up and the veins start standing up in your forehead, let me remind you that you are all very fond of animals. I mean, what about toads? You love toads.
In their natural habitat, yes.
That one I caught you feeding in the kitchen wasn't in its natural habitat. It was in the washing-up bowl.
No, but I returned it to its natural habitat as soon as I'd finished feeding it.
And I shall return Lancelot to Cecily Pilkington as soon as she comes out of hospital. Her bungalow is the only natural habitat he knows. What does she call it? The furs, spelt with a U.
Not the bungalow, Hilda. The monkey. What does she call the monkey?
His name is Lancelot.
Lancelot? What a stupid name for a monkey. I mean, monkeys are always called Jacko or Congo or Toto. Something like that.
What about King Kong?
Well, he wasn't really a monkey. Lancelot, I ask you.
Actually, it's Sir Lancelot. She bought him in Knightsbridge.
Well, I wash my hands of the whole business. But if you said you have it, I suppose you're stuck with it. Be it on your own head. We can only hope that Cecily Pilkington makes a rapid recovery.
I knew you'd come round. That's why I brought him back with me.
You've had him here all the time.
He's out in the hall in his little basket with his little suitcase.
His suitcase? What sort of monkey is this, Hilda?
He's a capuchin monkey. He's South American. I suppose you'd be more at home with an orangutan.
Not if he had his own suitcase.
Mind you, there's nothing Latin American about Lancelot. I think he's second or third generation English. His manners are impeccable. Well, for much of the time.
And what does he keep in his little suitcase, then?
His little fat... Oh, no, dear. Just his ordinary clothes. His little hat with a feather and his little blazer with brass buttons. And when we take him walking...
Walking? What do you mean, walking?
Well, we've got to take him walking every day.
Oh, I'm not going out with him. I haven't been seen walking the streets with a monkey with a feather in his hat. I am a town councillor, Hilda.
Then you should be used to the company of monkeys. Now, I'll fetch him in and introduce him to you. Come along then, Lancelot. Come along, I'm going to carry you to the drawing room. And I'm going to take you out of your basket. And I'm going to introduce you to your Auntie Evadne. There she is. There. There's nothing to be afraid of. She might look like a bird of prey, but she's really quite harmless. Except when she's conducting Wagner. And then it's really only Wagner who gets hurt. Isn't he gorgeous, Evadne?
I'll tell you whether he's gorgeous or not when I see how he behaves.
I think he likes you. Would you like to hold it?
No, thank you. Not just yet. Not until you're sure he likes me.
Well, Lancelot, would you like to go to your Auntie Evadne? Oh, I think he's shy, dear.
I think he's just darn rude.
He's frightfully intelligent, you know, and he loves music. I was singing to him all the way back in the car.
Poor little thing. No wonder he looks embarrassed.
And do you know the song he likes best of all? Singing in the bathtub.
Well, it is rather primitive, isn't it? Well, the way you sing it.
I tell you what, dear, fetch the music out and we'll do it for him.
Very well, if you're sure it won't send him running off the curtain.
It's very rude to talk like that in front of him, dear. He either knows what you're saying or he's not sure what you are. Now play, dear, and try to prove to him that you're human. Singing in the bathtub, happy once again, watching all my troubles go swinging down the drain. Singing through the third part, life is full of hope. You can sing with feeling while feeling confident. Oh, a ring around the bathtub is a
the bathtub in the rainbow to me. Reaching for a towel, ready for a raw. Everybody's happy, who's singing in the tub. Come along, Lancelot, I'm singing this for you. Are you enjoying this? Oh, is that me? I think he likes it. Now, come on, do you have to dance, Lancelot?
Don't do that. I'm not going to dance.
Singing in the bathtub, sitting all alone, tearing out tonsils just like a baritone. Never take a shower, it's an awful pain. Singing in the shop like singing in the rain. Oh, just be a body, but don't forget one thing. While the body's washed and polished, sing, Lancelot, sing, come on. Sing, little even while you're strong. Everybody's happy when singing in the pub.
Bless him. Well, I must say that he really did seem to enjoy that.
I'm glad. And now perhaps you will be good enough to take him off the piano. He makes me feel like an organ grinder.
He probably thinks you are an organ grinder, but that's just the way you play. Look, he's dozing off. He can hardly keep his little eyes open. You've had a busy morning, haven't you, Lancelot? You've made new friends. You've been out in the motor car, honk, honk. You've listened to the music. Had a good long look at his apnea. And I bet that's what tired him. I think I'll pop him into his little basket and he can have a little snooze before lunch.
By the way, Hilda, what's he going to have for lunch?
Oh, hadn't thought of that. Well, I suppose you'll just have to share ours for now.
You really think he'll like chicken tarragon souffle and sherry trifle?
Until I can get some monkey food, he's simply going to have to pig it there. Anyway, there's fruit in the trifle, isn't there? Or have you been skimping again?
I see. Isn't that mousy butler at the garden door? I wonder what he can want. Good morning, Mr. Butler. Do come in.
Ah, thank you, Doctor. A very good morning to you, too. Good morning, Dame Hilda.
Good morning, Dad. And what brings you here?
Well, it appears, Dame Hilda, that you left Mrs. Pilkington's with only half the things you should have had.
No, Dad, no, that's not true. I made it abundantly clear that I could offer accommodation only to one single and unattached monkey. After all, I have my hands full enough with him, haven't I?
You need have no fear on that score, Dame Hilda. I've brought no more animals. Indeed, the inhabitants of Mrs. Pilkington's happy little ark are now all safely distributed throughout Stacton. I'm happy to say that she's even found a haven for her stick insects. I've just dropped them off at the vicarage.
Well, from the vicar to get something straightforward like the stick insects. What a pity she didn't have a praying mantis. He could have had that as well. And why couldn't he have taken the monkey?
Well, fair's fair, Daphne. Apparently he did offer to take the monkey, but the monkey wouldn't go. Yeah.
I'm afraid that Lancelot has never really taken to the vicar. You see, monkeys cannot abide being laughed at. And as you may imagine, some of the antics that little chap gets up to appeal all too readily to the vicar's somewhat infantile sense of humour. Oh. Indeed, he has only to stick the end of his tail in his mouth, and the vicar is in fits.
Well, Lancelot should certainly be very happy up here then, Mr. Butler. He's not likely to make Evadne laugh even with his tail in his mouth.
He's not likely to get any attention at all with you upstaging him all the time.
Now then, where would you like me to install the cage?
The cage, Mr. Butler?
Well, if you prefer it, the boudoir. I have it in my van. A large, iron-meshed contraption, which originally, I understand, formed the cable drum and winch guard of a lorry from which a barrage balloon was flown. This I converted some time ago, and at Mrs. Pilkington's request, into a simian abode, or monkey house.
Oh, I really didn't envisage having to have a monkey house, dear. Not just for the one monkey. Are you sure we mean this thing? I mean, I really don't like to see animals in cages, you know. He looks so happy there in his little basket, doesn't he? And when he's not asleep, he'll be on my shoulder.
Oh, believe me, Dame Hilda, there will be times when you'll be very glad that Lancelot has a cage. Mrs. Pilkington thought much as you do until one day she left him to his own devices while she took a bath. She returned to find the living room stripped of wallpaper.
Where do you suggest we put this cage?
Well, it has been designed to screw against a bay window, thus affording the occupant light and spacious accommodation. And if the right window be found, plenty to occupy and interest him. A window that looks out on the road is favourite.
A bay window that looks out onto the road. Now, where have we got a bay window that looks out onto the road?
You know perfectly well where we've got one, Hilda. But you're not having it. My bedroom is out of bounds. Hey, what's wrong with your bedroom?
Evadne, in my bedroom, a cage would stand out like a sore thumb there. In yours, it would hardly be noticed.
If I might make a suggestion, ladies, I think a spare room would be more suitable. There, the monkey would be less likely to suffer undue disturbance.
Now, I'll tell you what I think, Mr. Butler.
What's that, Dame Hilda?
I think we should put him in the spare bedroom.
I say, what a good idea.
Rainway.
So, if that's agreed, I'll fetch the contraption and install it. Oh, by the by, I've also brought food, bedding, and a few of Lancelot's favourite toys. The rubber dumbbells and the Mickey Mouse punch bag are inoffensive enough, but I'm afraid he can be rather noisy with his little tin drum.
Do we have to have his little drum, Mr. Butler?
Oh, I'm afraid Lancelot would not be happy without his little drum.
What a pity nobody found that out earlier.
Mrs. Pilkington was most insistent that I bring the drum.
She probably envisaged Lancelot and Evadne playing duets together. Something they can do when I'm out.
Yes, well, I'll get about my business then. Oh, gracious heavens, look, Maud and that dreadful sister of hers, Guthrum, are coming this way.
Guthrum? What's she doing here again?
Perhaps if I might be permitted to slip to my van via the hall and the front door, I could avoid them, at least for a while. Their voices go right through me, they set my teeth on edge. I'll see you later, ladies.
Yes, very, very well, dear. And just let us know if you want anything.
Why don't we go with him, Hilda?
Too late, there. We've been spotted through the garden door.
Good morning, Dame Hilda. Doctor, look who's here again.
Morning, Dame Hilda. Doctor. Morning, my dear.
Good morning.
My, how time flies. You know, Gavron, it seems only a week or so since your last visit.
It is only a week or so since your last visit. 12 days, to be precise. Turns up like a bad penny, don't she? Comes to see me, she says, but I don't invite her.
Well, family's family, Dame Alder, innit? Like I'm always telling Maudie here, if we don't stick together, there's no one going to stick together for us. That's very true, dear. Blood's thicker than water.
And beggars can't be choosers.
Are you being sarcastic, Evadne?
No, just joining him.
She come last night and she's leaving tomorrow. Ain't you goody? If I can get her a seat on the bus.
Up and down from Bodmin like a tiddler in a bucket, I am. Still, travelling's supposed to broaden the mind, isn't it, Dame Hilda?
Well, that's what they say, dear. Isn't it, Evadne?
They also say that travel makes a wise man better, but a fool worse.
I say, that's a bit sharp, isn't it?
Well, no, don't blame me, dear. I didn't coin it. It's 18th century, I believe, and of course, travelling was very different in those days.
As you well remember. Well, I reckon they're right about it broadening the mind. I'm very broad-minded, aren't I, Maudie?
Brazen, that's what you are. If you ask me, all them lifts with them lorry-driving friends of yours has brought you out further than you should ever have come.
Well, well, I don't shock easy, if that's what you mean.
You shock my Arthur.
Oh, he's an old stick.
I know full well he's an old stick, but that ain't no reason to shock him.
Anyway, what have you been up to on this latest little visit, Guthrum? Been painting the town red, have you? Well, what there is of it.
Yes, I did notice 2 empty lager cans in the churchyard this morning. Some Someone obviously had a wild night.
Well, it certainly weren't me. I didn't have a wild night. I got here at 9, had supper, went to bed, got up, had a wash, had breakfast, done the house, and come out.
Still, it's a break, isn't it? And I expect the change of air has done you good.
Trouble with you, Goody. All you ever wants is to be gadding about. Anyway, you can't say as you've done nothing, because we popped in on Mrs. Pilkington on the way up here, didn't we?
We didn't pop in, exactly. She didn't ask us in.
Well, no. But she let us stand on her doorstep for a while, didn't she? Sometimes she don't even do that.
I'm afraid Mrs. Pilkington's a very sick woman, Maud. We're all going to have to make allowances.
Rather a pity she didn't keep you out in her stepfield, isn't it? If she had, we might not have been landed with that monkey.
I heard about the monkey.
Oh, no, shut up, Goody. If Dame Mildred wants to show it to you, she'll show it to her, and if she don't, she won't. So there, ain't that right, Dame Mildred?
Well, as far as I was able to follow it, I think it was quite right, dear. Yes. Is he still asleep at Abney?
I don't know. Is he?
Well, you're nearest to him there. Have a little peep for me, would you?
Very well, but you're not to take it as a precedent. No, no, he's not a thief, Hilda. He is wide awake.
Hey, who do you remind you of?
Well, certainly not you. He's far too pretty.
Now, now, girls, don't get skittish. I'll get him out of his little basket, shall I? And then you can stroke his little head.
And stick your fingers in his little mouth.
Come along, Lancelot. See? Second house audience is in, and it's much bigger than the first house was.
I wonder if he thinks you're stupid.
I expect he wonders why I put up with you. There, now, say hello to your Auntie Maud and your Auntie Gundrum.
Hello, Lancelot.
Hello, Bubby.
That just made him feel at home.
Are we going to give them a little wave then, Lancelot? Well, are we? Are we going to lift our little hand up and wave our little fingers at them?
No, we're obviously not.
Tell me that then, he might. Now, come along. Let's show them how clever we are, shall we? Now, like this. Wave. Come on, Lancelot, like this. Wave.
We all know you can do it, Hilda. Let's see if the monkey can.
Perhaps if we wave, did wave.
Ah. Let's wave, and he might.
Yeah, Goody. Do you remember that little song Ma always made us sing when we were seeing Pa off to work on his bike? The wave song, remember?
I remember. Waving, wave a tiny and say goodbye to Pa. Bisey, bisey, to you. Ta 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 ta.
That was a very rude thing to do.
Oh, the little monkey.
Well, we know what he thinks of us.
I must say, Hilda, in that situation, I would have been tempted to do the same thing myself.
Yes, well, Mrs. Pilkington's not going to thank me if he goes home with all your bad habits. I wonder where he learned to do a thing like that. Now, come along, Lancelot. No more naughties. Will you wave for your Auntie Hilda? Yes, of course you will, won't you, if she sings to you? Wavy, wave a tiny hand, say goodbye to Pa. Bidey, bidey, toodaloo. Ta-ta, ta-ta-ta. Look at that, he's waving. Ah, Lancelot, come back!
Oh, look, how surprising you're all waving to him and shouting goodbye at him.
Oh, Lancelot, where do you hide?
I shut all the doors and close the windows, the monkey's loose.
What about the chimney? Suppose it goes up the
chimney. Now, he's dead and he's standing in front of the chimney.
Oh, there he goes. Look, Dame Mildred, he's running up the curtain.
Just look at that lady. Yes, you're the tallest, dear. See if you can get him down off the chandelier, would you?
Well, it'd be ridiculous, Hilda. The minute I make a move towards him, he'll be off.
That's true. Those things are as awful as a wagon load of monkeys. Maud, go and get Mr. Butler, would you, dear? He'll know how to catch it. He's upstairs in the spare bedroom.
Oh, Mousy, yes? Up in the bedroom?
Oh, I'll go and
and get him for you.
No, you won't. I'll go and get him. He'll be in no fit state to catch a monkey if you've been at him.
why don't you both go and get him?
Yes, that would make his day. Mind, it should also get him down here in double quick time.
Come on then, Goody, that's wrong.
Oh, I'm coming, Moddy. Monkey!
The monkey's loose!
And shut the door behind you there.
Well, I just hope you're satisfied, Hilda. You go out to visit the sick, and we end up with a house full of rampaging rustics and a monkey swinging from the chandelier.
Oh, you really are such an old stick in the mud, aren't you? I think it's rather nice to have a little bit of life about the house. And at least the next few weeks are not likely to be dull. Lancelot, no, Lancelot, no, you're not to do that. What? You are not to drop that light bulb on your Auntie Ladney's head.
No, Lancelot, do leave.
That was Looking After Lancelot, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Frow. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcome Jean Haywood as Maud. Thanks also to this week's guests, Liz Smith and Frank Williams, and to the members of the Stacton Tressel Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by Bobby J.